Armstrong and Getty.
The birthplace of talk radio.
I hear all these idiots and fools and jackasses on radio.
What an introduction that was. Holy God.
My gosh.
Nobody does it better.
Kids, we don't want another incident here, okay?
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre world.
I apologize for that.
All right, go, go.
People, get back here, you pass. Can they say to Wender?
This is Ed McMahon.
And now, he is Armstrong and Getty.
Was that Joe Biden responding to the sexual allegations?
Is that what that was? Sander Krager.
Sad one, a Krager Rocker. Live from Studio C.
C-O-V-I-D-Z.
Crank that music, Michael. It's an information party. We're in a dimly lit room, deeper than the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications compound. And today, everybody, we're under the tutelage of our general manager,
the YouTube doctors. Honorary general manager, the economy. Beer.
The economy, yeah, economic numbers just out. We'll talk about, I'm sure, very, very soon. Yeah, but did anybody expect them not to be horrible?
In terms of expectations,
it's like nobody's shocked.
Like many experiences in my life, I went into it expecting it to be horrible and was not disappointed.
Yeah. Boy, it sure seems the whole, The hashtag MeToo charge against Joe Biden is really getting more attention.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
And I don't know what to think of it. He still hasn't spoken to it. He hasn't been asked about it is the best part. The very few interviews he's given, he hasn't been asked questions about it.
Right.
And
he ain't talking anyway. I read a great
editorial.
No,
but you gotta ask the question.
I know it. Of course. Yeah. It's insane. I read this editorial, in which one of the points they made was, he may have done it, but I'm voting for him anyway. Better a rapist than Trump. So, well, at least people are being open, you know? I appreciate the candor.
Well, her friend from way back in the day, who completely corroborated the story, by the way, which is something that didn't exist at all with Miss Ford and Kavanaugh.
Right.
That wasn't at all. You didn't have people on the record doing this. You had somebody on the record, I think, to Business Insider saying, yeah, she told me specifically about him doing that many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole level above the Kavanaugh accuser. I still don't think you're in a position where you ruin a guy's career and he's not the candidate or anything, but just saying. But so you got to ask him about it at this point, don't you, mainstream media? And have him make his statement.
Well, they got to make it down into his basement first. You try to ask him over Skype or Zoom or whatever.
Well,
he'll just say, I don't know, you're breaking up.
Am I wrong that he'd be better off to deal with it now than wait till it's closer to the election? Why? I mean, he's going to have to answer the question, right? Given. So wouldn't you rather find a favorable press person that you know is not like going to ask 15 follow-up questions, have him hit you with the question and get the answer out there?
Yeah, that is certainly the conventional wisdom. I just wonder if he and his people think, look, the mainstream media has very little hunger for this story. It's growing, but it'll peak. You know, we'll all forget it after the coronavirus. And they're just going to try to wait it out. It's a gamble, though, as you point out.
Here's a quote from her neighbor in Business Insider. I can't stand Donald Trump, so I don't want him to win. But this happened, and I know it did because I remember talking about it. She told me about this guy, and I didn't really know who Joe Biden was. But she said she'd worked for the senator. She said that he had put her up against the wall and he'd put his fingers inside her. She was talking about how dirty she felt. I'm personally a Democrat and a very strong Democrat, and I'm for Biden regardless, but I still have to come out and say this. That is 100 miles further down the road toward evidence than happened with the Kavanaugh hearing.
That was a long time ago. There were no witnesses. Let's not worry about it. Sign the mainstream media, who were apoplectic 24 months ago.
Well, yesterday I was like 100%. I said if I had to bet money, I'd think he didn't do it. I'm not as sure about that now. This neighbor from way back, specifically Joe Biden, doesn't sound crazy.
Right.
I mean, I know that's a weird way to judge things, but it doesn't sound crazy. Look, I hate Donald Trump. I'm voting for Joe Biden. But, yeah, she told me about this years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll get to the piece. I think it's in the WAPO New York Times. I don't remember, by Megan McArdle, in which she says a number of things, including, and again, if she was saying this back in the Kavanaugh day, I missed it, and I may just have missed it. My opinion on all this stuff has remained consistent. But she said, and if it's decades ago, isn't there, do we not believe in rehabilitation or mistakes and then living? She didn't put it this way, but I will. If you live decades free of the sin you're accused of, isn't that enough redemption? Depending on what the sin is. I mean, if you machine gun a school bus, well, then no, there's not redemption just because you don't do it for 30 years.
Well, we don't believe it.
She was making that argument.
We don't believe it for some crimes. These stories pop up all the time where, you know, they catch somebody, murdered somebody 40 years ago. They've been living, seems, a perfect life since. Got married, had kids, drove the school bus, you know, donated to charities. But sorry, you murdered somebody, you're going to jail. And that question always comes up. In terms of this this Biden story and where it's going, I have absolutely no idea. But there's a reason we have statute of limitations on these things. And, you know, in the court system, because stuff that old's difficult to nail down.
Yeah, well, really impossible.
Yeah, impossible.
In many cases.
The answer. Yeah. Let's introduce everybody in the squad. There's our board operator. Oh, and the thing I was going to throw in, if you're a pro-Trump person and you're like, you know, really hungry to get this out there and get it going, I think that's misplaced want. I'm not sure whoever would replace Biden is good news for you if you're a pro-Trump in this election.
Yeah, I'm not calling out Joe Biden per se. I'm calling out the freaking hypocritical media.
Yeah. Let's introduce everybody. There's board operator Michelangelo, pressing buttons, flipping toggles, pulling levers. How are you this morning, Michael?
Pretty good. I'm just looking at the cable news, and I think there is a glimmer of hope, just slightly, anyway. We got about 20 states that are going to reopen.
20?
Yeah, I'm looking at the map here. Uh-huh. They have, and also, they're talking about a vaccine now. Now, it doesn't mean it's done yet, but there's at least two companies that are saying possibly a vaccine around September, October.
I live in one of the more clamped down areas of the nation, and my traffic was full on heavy today. I mean, I would consider it a busier traffic day than normal, looking back over the 20 years I've been making the same commute. There's a lot of people driving out there. I don't know what that means, but there's positive Sean, whose smile lights up the room. How are you, Sean?
Doing very well. There is a very powerful birthday day today in the celebrity realm. A possible trifecta of all-time greats. So you have Daniel Day-Lewis turning 63, arguably
a legend,
one of the greatest actors of all time.
Well, I think he's my favorite actor of all time.
Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld turned 66.
Has a new special coming out.
Mm-hmm. Arguably the greatest comedian of all time. That one's probably a little bit more contested.
What is the deal with Social Security?
And then, you know, I was going to make a Costanza reference only minutes ago, so Jerry's influence remains, at least on some generations.
And this is the one I'm not sure about, because I don't really know where he would rank all time, but Willie Nelson, clearly legendary musical performer. I don't know if he would actually crest the best of all time of genre he was in. But
he's certainly in the ranking for music. He'd be up there with your Jerry Seinfelds and that sort of thing in their own realms.
The idea of picking one seems ludicrous to me, but he's in that highest echelon of songwriters.
How old is Willie Nelson?
87.
Wow.
I actually kind of cheated. His birthday's tomorrow, April 30th. But
no,
still.
What? Wait.
Boo!
Wait a minute. This is scandalous. You can't stretch a day for a birthday?
I didn't finish reading the paragraph until just right now.
You maniac.
Which I don't blame you. There's no reason to finish a paragraph about the birthdays of Jerry Seinfeld and Willie Nelson.
I don't
need to do a deep dive on those.
So, apology. I will issue a full retraction in my final thoughts today.
That was outrageous.
A full retraction. Hilarious. You know, you hear about the value of Friends reruns and a lot of different shows reruns. I don't hear that about Seinfeld, really. I know they got paid a gazillion dollars in the beginning, but in terms of like Netflix owning them or whoever, I just don't think Seinfeld has held up that well, even though at the time it was the greatest thing ever.
I'm sure there are learned, essays on why that is, but I don't think it's disputable.
Yeah.
It was so quirky and original.
And there's so many other things similar to that now, that it doesn't stand out as, oh my God, nobody's ever done this before.
And it kind of got outdone in terms of like it, Seinfeld, the show was innovative, but Curb Your Enthusiasm just turned the dial up to 11 on a lot of what made that show great.
That might be it. Maybe that's it. There was another chapter to the to that story.
Yeah.
And it was even better and more of the times. Anyway, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this. It is Wednesday, April 29th, year 2020. We're Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
All right, let's begin the show officially now, according to FCC rules and regulations. Here we go at Mark.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lulu. Happy birthday to you. Look at this. Huh? Are we not celebrating birthday really great, huh? Sorry, the candles are unnecessary here.
So that's obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger singing happy birthday with the candles and the presents and those sorts of things.
Yeah, that's good.
Who's he singing happy birthday to?
Lulu. He's singing happy birthday to Lulu. Yeah.
Lulu.
Oh, Lulu is his pet donkey that has gotten some Instagram fame over the past several weeks months. So yeah, that was they had a donkey birthday cake. He apologized for the candles there towards the end. I don't know how donkeys deal with fire, but seemed rather calm in the video.
It's a donkey with the hauling and the pulling and the beast of burden and those sorts of things.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, I got to celebrate its birthday with a cake. Yeah, it's made of hay and carrots. Yeah.
Yes.
And things of that sort.
Look, two jackasses in this picture.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Stop it!
Oh, boy.
Oh, Arnold.
So we got mailbag on the way. We got that economic numbers that we probably ought to hit you with right away.
Because there was shrinkage.
Just breaking. Yeah, no, okay, good one. That's a really good one. Our text line is 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
So the U.S. economy shrank 4.8% in the annual rate the first quarter. Biggest contraction since the recession a decade ago. Although, you know, we didn't all die a decade ago during the recession. A lot of you probably don't even remember it. So it's not like we were eating each other in the streets or something.
Well, not often.
But the worst is to come, most people think. This isn't like, you know, and then it's going to get better. Almost certainly not. So at least according to the experts.
Huh. Mailbag.
Woohoo! More details on those economic numbers, by the way, on the way.
I kind of like this. Continuing our series of freedom-loving quotes of the day from Ludwig von Mises. It is not the fault of the entrepreneurs that the consumers, the people, the common man, prefer liquor to Bibles and detective stories to serious books, and that governments prefer guns to butter. The entrepreneur does not make greater profits in selling bad things than in selling good things. His profits are the greater, the better he succeeds in providing the consumers with those things they ask for most intensely.
That one was long.
That was very long. That was a long quote.
Prefer liquor to Bibles. Well, you can get by with one Bible, like, for your entire life,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
The Bible!
Don't appreciate the shot at detective novels, either. Those are fine stories.
Yeah.
You child. A couple of China-related notes. This one from Rich in beautiful Green, Oregon. Okay, I'm now convinced we must stop getting everything from China. I'm starting with getting my Chinese tattoo characters removed. I forgot years ago what they meant or said anyway. I think I'll look into Latin. Yes, Latin has stood the test of time. What's that?
It means supply chain.
That's what all those Chinese tattoos are. Yeah. We own your medicine, is what it says.
Yeah, you want masks? Pound sand. That's what it says in Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that was the staff joke of the day.
Already?
John.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, early.
20 minutes into the show.
It's practically unprecedented.
You know, Jonah Goldberg and the Dispatch has been gloating for several weeks now about something that has been in his craw for decades and how popular it was in the 90s, particularly for people giving like TED Talks to say the Chinese have no word for problem or challenge or whatever the BS was. But right. Their word is opportunity because they see all challenge, which was obviously complete BS, but it got repeated by people like it was seriously too regularly. And he's happy that people are catching on to how stupid and evil a lot of the whole worshiping China thing has become.
The Chinese also have no word for concentration camp. They refer to them as schools. Isn't that inspiring?
That's a good one right there.
Chinese asshole!
Again, his description is concise and accurate. How to make China pay, writes Paul, the economist in training. I've been trying to think of a way to make China pay for the damage of the virus. I've come up with a plan. The U.S. just doesn't pay back the approximately $1 to $2 trillion in debt held by the Chinese government and companies. Since they're basically the same thing, we call that paying us back. Then offer political and security backing to any country that took out loans under China's Belt and Road Initiative and now wishes to repudiate that debt. This hopefully deters China, gets these countries out from under the communist thumb, pushes them back toward us, the country that's backing them and canceling billions of dollars in loans. Just a thought. You know, you'd have to be way more learned than me in the ways of international finance, Paul, to answer my question, which is, if the U.S. repudiated a couple $1 trillion in debt, just said, we ain't paying, what would that do to the interest rates at which we borrow? I mean, would Germans think, well, they might do that to us? I don't know. Generally speaking, you know, you declare bankruptcy, it stays on your record for quite some time, and you pay higher interest rates if you can get loans at all. Here's an interesting note from Bonnie. Nursing homes shouldn't exist. Other cultures on Earth take care of their elderly. They move them in, care for them. Americans seem to send them to nursing homes more often. Hopefully the COVID nursing home plague will reshape how we treat our people. I read a really interesting, long, thought-provoking article. I think it was in The Atlantic, where they can't tell you what the weather is today in less than 5,000 words. But they were talking about the failure of the nuclear family. And I read the headline, and I was like, wait a minute, what? You're trying to tear apart the communist? But their point was, no, it used to be the extended family. You know, people, aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, and help raise each other's kids, and if somebody was sick, blah, blah, blah. And it was really a fabulous coping mechanism. It was the way humans were probably designed to be.
Sure. We have we have friends that have lived in the area their whole lives, unlike me and my wife, and their system for doing things, because they have aunts and uncles and cousins and everything like that, is just, it just looks so much more efficient and better for the kids and the parents.
Yeah, and the grandparents. So, yeah, that's an interesting thought, Bonnie. I mean, that's a heavy one. That's heavy to consider, but thank you for the contribution. A little bonus mailbag coming up. We have some funny stuff, good thoughts. People are getting militant.
A little more of the details on the economic news.
Armstrong and Getty. California.
A couple of bad apples can make this challenge that much more difficult. For instance, we had somebody apply for unemployment for Tupac Shakur here in Kentucky. And that person probably thought they were being funny, except for the fact that because of them, we've got to go through so many other claims that one person thinking that they were funny, using somebody else's identity, is going to make tens of thousands, potentially, of other people wait. It's not okay. I owe somebody an apology tonight. I mentioned an individual that had filed in the name of Tupac Shakur.
Oh.
I didn't know, and it's my fault, that we have a Kentuckian who goes by Malik, whose name is Tupac Shakur. I talked to him on the phone today. I apologize. I told him how it happened, but I owned it. It's my fault.
Sorry.
Governor of Kentucky.
That's not funny. It's a waste of time. It's costing people
somebody
their lives.
Applied under the name of John Wilkes Booth. And I don't think it's funny. You're a whole excuse me. I have to apologize. We do have a Kentuckian named John Wilkes Booth.
Signed me, Biggie Smalls. Governor Biggie Smalls. Oh, boy, that's funny.
Okay, this isn't funny, Joe. That's my transition.
That's good.
This isn't landing like with a, you know, a bombshell, because nobody thought the economic numbers for the first quarter were going to turn out to be good. This is not surprising to anybody. But it is officially now the end of the longest expansion in U.S. history, as because we have the actual numbers in front of us. The first quarter, we did go down by 4.8%. The economy shrunk by 4.8% in the first quarter. And that is a... That's not good. It's the worst, according to the Wall Street Journal, and the person they're quoting, you wouldn't know who they were. It doesn't make any difference. But we are in the worst economic event that we have faced as a nation and globally since the Great Depression. And there are definitely others arguing that it could surpass that. when all is said and done. This is this is unprecedented in terms of what we typically see in a recession. When you go into a recession, it's usually a gradual process. It doesn't happen all at once like this. That's what's how this stands out. And they expect the second quarter to be where the real damage hits.
Sure.
So a contraction of 4.8%, that is the gradual to the number that we're going to have in the second quarter.
Because there were parts of the first quarter that were relatively unaffected by this. This really hit kind of midway through the quarter.
To give you a for instance, Ford expects to lose about $5 billion in operating profit for the quarter of June. The $5 billion loss is twice as large as the analysts expected only a couple of days ago.
Holy cow.
So a couple of days ago, the Ford experts were saying $2.5 billion we're going to lose. Now they're saying $5 billion. So it's what's coming.
I may just stay in bed tomorrow. I don't want to hear what they say then.
So, and that's why a lot of people are screaming and yelling, you got to get this thing open back up to any extent that you can. If a business can open up, let it open up. And there are lots of them. I know several that there's no justification for them being closed.
Right.
Now, whether or not they'd have customers if they opened up, I don't know, but that's a different question.
And it's up for the business to make that calculation.
Right, exactly. Elon Musk is, he was tweeting in the middle of the night, pushing for reopening the country and now with how it's damaging Tesla in the Bay Area and just the economy in general.
Right. Well, you know, we've been predicting slash fearing this for a very long time, that a very soft, safe, comfortable country that has become obsessed with safety and nothing bad ever happening. And if it does, a lawyer will get you money and the rest. It's just complete loss of the resilient, you know, pioneer spirit that built this country. Sorry, Indians. You know, the only way that these things would change is through a cataclysm, through a terrible, terrible, you know, turn of history. But our obsession with safety first. No, you know what? Safety may be second or third, depending on if you're talking about 6-year-olds and firearms or reopening the economy. How about productivity first? And as much safety as we could possibly muster up. And I just think the governors of America had gone miles down the, we just need to err to the side of nobody getting this terrible Chinese bat disease. And with all due respect to how horrible it is, we've gone overboard.
God, and we're clamping down more, which is just confusing to me. That's the thing I don't get. So we understand the protocols now, stuff that I'd never done in my life. Wearing masks, washing my hands constantly, not touching doorknobs. That was all new to me. Now it's second nature, like it is for so many other people. We're in a much better position as a society to go back to these businesses now. We understand how to do all this stuff. We all got a bottle of Purell in our car and just all kinds of different things.
Yeah, don't stand close enough to get a face full of spray. If somebody sneezes or coughs or just talking, speaking damply on each other. As who was that, Macron of France? No, that was cute little Justin Trudeau, wasn't it?
Yeah, Trudeau.
Yeah. Yeah, we all know that. So we're good, probably.
Elon Musk's not a drinker, right? He's a toker. He's a midnight stroker.
No,
he's a joker.
He enjoys the ganj.
No, he shared a marijuana cigarette or a blunt on the Joe Rogan podcast. Theories range on how much he actually inhaled on that.
Oh, okay.
But I think I think he has whiskey more often than you have a joint would be my guess.
Tweeting at 2:15 a.m. is more of a drinker thing.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Depends what he tweeted.
But he tweeted Free America Now and a link to the Wall Street Journal op-ed piece that I meant to read from yesterday and we'll read from later.
He was drinking.
The Wall Street Journal op-ed piece arguing that that the severe shutdowns have not helped save many lives. They're trying to back it up with data and to open the economy back up. But maybe more on that later. But that's where we are. It was a rough first quarter, and the second quarter is going to be just disastrous. And the never-ending tentacles of this, which are hard to wrap your head around.
It's the tentacles I fear.
Oh, definitely.
It's, you know, the one Jenga piece you take out and everything crumbles and you think, why did that make it crumble? I never saw that coming. Because economies can be like that. I don't mean to freak people out and scare them or anything like that, but
You should be freaked out and scared about this. This is a very, very big deal.
Right. The history of the world is that of unintended consequences. I mean, most of the things that have happened in history were tangential to what people were trying to do. They just kind of happened. And yeah, there could be just enormous just kind of happens economically speaking through this thing, which is why we must, for the million and third time, balance carefully the need to not choke the economy to death with the need to protect people from Chairman Xi's Chinese bat fever.
Well, parts of the country have announced an extra 5 weeks of shutting down. Now, the courts are getting involved more and more. We mentioned how in Illinois, the court put a halt on it, and they're going to take a look at it. Pennsylvania, some people are suing about whether or not the governor gets to make these sorts of arbitrary decisions about businesses and which businesses they choose. I'm happy the courts are going to take a look at this. I'm a little worried about how it's going to turn out, but...
Yeah, there's a civil rights case that just worked its way through Ohio. The Ohio Supreme Court turned them down, but it's going to the U.S. Supreme Court now about one of the governors, I can't remember specifically, it'll pop into my head, but the governor made one of his dictates, you know, like governors are all over the country. Like I just read this morning, we got an email, a good point that pretty Gavin Newsom, oh, there it is, an email from Rod. The governor of the great state of Cal Unicornia just struck down the plastic bag ban in grocery stores. It was an idiotic measure, but it was passed by the legislature. I'm just a bill. Yeah, I'm only a bill. We know how that works, right? And he just said, nah, not so much now because of the COVID thing. Yeah, we kind of got to figure out where do these people power? Where do they begin and where do they end?
For instance, could
the president, he just said, all right, the Defense Production Act means we can keep the hog mills open, right? Hog mills, meat processing plants. Could a governor...
The hog mills where they make hogs.
Could a governor...
Hand-hewn hogs.
We craft hogs the old-fashioned way.
I still feel weird that I was sad yesterday reading the story about the number of baby hogs that they're slaughtering because they have no place to send them.
Yeah.
And then you pointing out that they're going to kill them anyway. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's the only reason they exist.
They were going to become lifelong pets and go to college.
But exactly. Raise kids, then grandkids, and sit on the front porch, rocking in their chair, thinking about the old times. No, they were going to be on your plate. But my question is, if a governor can just say, well, now we got the COVID, so this bill, which again was idiotic, counterproductive, stupid, feel good, AOC style green crap, but the governor just overturns it with a stroke of the pen because of the COVID. Could a governor say, look, we got food production's bogging down. We don't have enough labor in the fields. We're going to reinstitute slavery. Now, slavery was overturned, of course, by an act of the legislature and then Constitution and the rest of it. But because of the COVID-19, we're going to have slaves again. How far could they go?
I don't know. There should be a line drawn, probably.
Yeah, I'd say.
How about this? Since we just spent some time talking about the opening up and that argument and stuff like that, maybe we get to the doctors and the YouTube taking them down and all that.
The famous Bakersfield doctors.
Because I feel like we ought to get to coming up Hillary Clinton's endorsement of Joe Biden. There's one particular aspect of it that I really like. And it's not the most obvious part of it.
Okay.
A lot of people are commenting on the big endorsements coming down right in the middle of the heat of the sexual allegations as that's building up, like trying to blunt that quickly. Hillary's on board. Who else came out and endorsed yesterday? I think there were two big ones yesterday.
Nancy was just the other day.
Right. Yeah. But that's is similar in that same time frame of these allegations are growing. And so you get the real powerful on board to say, this is clear. He's the nominee. Let's not get, wobbly legs here.
Let's not get any blah, blah, blah Cuomo going.
But what Hillary's actual endorsement and then Donald Trump Jr.'s comment about it is fairly entertaining. So
I hope it was charitable.
Stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
Welcome, Hillary. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's a real pleasure to be here with you. I am thrilled to be part of your campaign to not only endorse you, but to help highlight a lot of the issues that are at stake in this presidential election.
What is it with her inability to not talk like a phony politician?
She is utterly incapable of coming off as authentic.
When she tried,
if her hair was on fire, I would find her screaming to be, I don't know, I think she's got an angle.
That's the first time I've heard her sound like that in like 4 years. Because all the other times I've heard in recent times, she sounds like a normal person, hating on Trump and, you know, trying to make jokes and all that sort of stuff. Then she gets into politician mode. Thank you, Joe. And I
Welcome,
would just
Hillary.
Like to
it's
say...
It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's a real pleasure to be here with you. I am
none
thrilled.
None of those words or phrases sounded like it does when anybody else says them.
Yeah, I know it.
Thank
know
you
it.
So much. And it is a pleasure to be... Just, what is it with her and that?
I don't know if somebody told her sometime in the hazy past, you got to speak really slowly and enunciate every word.
I've heard so many people say that, like, behind the scenes, she's, like, got, you know, just really personable and funny and down to earth, blah, blah, blah. Why can't she show the tiniest percentage of that? Thank you, Joe. It is such a pleasure to... Just wait.
It like sounded a, like she was reading a cue card almost.
Yeah, she's like a weird political robot. Anyway, I don't understand how any of these politicians, particularly the Democrats, because they're the party of Hollywood, don't have any sound people that can get them a decent microphone. It's not, you don't have to be Spielberg to get a decent mic plugged into an iPhone even. Why?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They all sound like,
I am so pleased to be with you today.
It's terrible. Talking to the mic, baby.
You don't. You've got hundreds of millions of dollars in your foundation and your PACs and everything like that. You don't have an audiovisual person from the local community college that can hook you up with some decent sound? I just don't get that.
Yeah, no kidding. Order yourself a $29 microphone on Amazon and plug that puppy in.
So I didn't watch.
Did you see where Tucker called her a champion of, called Hillary a champion of women or a cow?
What? No.
I find that.
No, you can't do that. That's inappropriate.
Completely, it's childish. It's insulting. It's hurtful. It made me laugh a lot.
Because
I'm an
idiot.
But a number of Armstrong and Getty fans found that especially amusing since we do cow clips of the week every Friday.
Champion of women or cow.
Or cow.
That's not okay. Now, I didn't watch the Hillary Biden video, but Donald Trump Jr. retweeted, oh, my God, looks like Biden fell asleep during Crooked's rant endorsement. He's truly the gift that keeps on giving. He does look like he's sound asleep there for about a minute. I think he's just looking down and trying to be humble while she says nice things about him, which I get. That's a proper way to act.
I see him looking down at what I'm assuming are notes a lot more during his little basement appearances.
Oh, you think that's what he's doing looking
at notes?
I think
people are trying to get him on message, less rambly, give him reference points to go back to. And I see him all that. He doesn't steer into it. He tries to do it like people don't notice that he's not making eye contact with the camera, lifting something up. I've seen him do that a lot.
Okay, yeah, that would
less
explain.
Less rambly or dementia-y.
I didn't think he was actually asleep, but his eyes are he's completely down for quite a long time while she's talking. So that's what he's doing. He's looking over his notes to remind himself what.
Giant 3x5 cards. Don't mention corn pop.
Your hairy legs are not a topic.
And by the way, I got hairy legs.
See, that's not what you're supposed
to
say. Anyway, so that's all there is to that. It's kind of a nothing. I wonder if there was some strategy behind Hillary and Nancy coming out in a 48-hour period right when the Tara Reid allegations seem to be heating up. I don't know. Could be coincidence.
There was a little bit more where he expressed his appreciation for her endorsement.
And no say random bushwhacking, horn swoggling, crocker crocker is going to roll away.
How many times are you going to get me with that?
Probably 500 more.
Yes, and I look forward to it.
But I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
Hey, so here's a little good news if you can stand it. Well, it's a speculative good news, but Major League Baseball has gotten pretty far in discussing a start to the season late June, empty stadiums, realigned league. There will be three, like, divisions, 10 teams each, and you only play within your division, so nobody has to travel very much.
Oh, okay, for travel. I was wondering why you're realigning, just so you don't go clear across the country.
Right, exactly.
And there's no need.
Yeah, the whole let's just do it all in Arizona. A lot of the guys said, look, I'm with my family at least half the year.
That's a good point.
I kind of like to see my wife and kids.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we forget that they're not merely tools for our entertainment.
Yes, they are. You're a tool for my entertainment.
Entertain me, players.
Tool. So here's your
Of course, some of the other guys were saying on the road the entire season. All right.
Yeah, could be. Well, if you're a baseball fan, though, I think you'll enjoy these possible matchups. In the East, you have the Yankees and Mets and Red Sox, Nationals, Orioles, Phillies, Pirates, Blue Jays, Tampa Bay Rays, and Miami Marlins. The for some reason, they go East, West, then Central. That's a bias. Bias against the heartland. I'm going with Central second. The Cubs and Sox in Chicago. You got your Brewers, your Cardinals, your Royals, Reds, Indians, Twins, Braves, and Tigers. They'd all be in the same division. Then out west, Dodgers, Angels, Giants, Athletics, Padres, Diamondbacks, Rockies, Rangers, Astros, and Mariners.
The Detroit.
So there'd be some fun, like super regional matchups.
The Detroit Tigers have to do something Tiger King related, don't they? Just seems like such a great opportunity. Or at least fans, if they're ever fans again.
I wonder, that could get old Joe Exotic some lawyering money, too, if they pay him for the rights. I don't know. If they Tigers King. I'm trying to picture how it'd go.
If they go on the road, you just bring a bunch of Carole Baskin signs to it or something.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
So the baseball season, there. What did you say the date was they're talking about starting?
June at some point, yeah.
Why not? It's outdoors. You can keep people definitely socially distanced in baseball.
I think it's the Korean League is up and running full speed, empty stadiums, but they're playing their games and they're on TV and everything. So
North Korean League or South Korean League?
The North Korean League, where they break sticks off the dead trees to use as bats.
Stop eating the baseball. I realize it's horsehide, but
they just
we can't keep playing if you keep eating the baseball.
Balls of hair. Yeah. It's a little third world poverty humor there for you.
Oof, that's rough.
Hey, it's communism, Jack.
So Kim,
all right, it's not a coincidence that they're starving and they're communists.
Kim Jong Un's yachts are being seen in that one area we were talking about yesterday. I think it's pretty clear now. He's hunkering down, hiding from the coronavirus. He's alive, but he's just trying to stay away from the virus in a country that has zero health care.
Armstrong and Getty.